We gave a slight indication that this was going on at the beginning of the conference, but we have had two local pastors with us in attendance, Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig and from Community Mennonite Church here in town, and Pastor Phil Ness from Parkview Mennonite Church, which is the community that I worship with, community of communities, as it says in our congregational mission statement. And so they have been as our elders, although I put scare quotes around the word elders. So I was expressing some ageism on that. That they were in our midst listening and interacting and being with us, but with the intention of offering kind of a response to the proceedings of this conference. So I welcome them here now to offer that. And thank you.
Well, thanks for the invitation. Wonderful to have been a part of this. And since I was asked, then when I realized, when I read the paper last weekend that the conference was full, I thought, oh, well, I already have a spot. So thanks so much, because this has been a gift to me. We received some words of caution that I think we need to heed as Anabaptists, many of us, and as Christians, all of us. Not to revel in our protests such that we would confuse our identity as followers of the Lamb, but to embrace God's order that we recognize distinctly in a crucified Messiah who's raised and among us. We also receive the gift of testimony of ongoing conversion to the way of Christ. I was particularly struck with Chris's story about being at a neighborhood meeting, and encountering a police officer and discovering kinship and identity and being able to reframe and read that interaction without some of the ideology that may have prevented the encounter that God was inviting him to. And also Bethany's testimony of a revelation of the triune God and exploring that revelation through making art. Her testimony called us then to worship God without utilities. And this is the vocation of the church. And so I just received that invitation. I also heard calling to adopt some postures that are appropriate for our time in the world as Christians. One being from Keisha, to adopt a posture of an anti-racist suspicion of the nation state and the histories that we have told ourselves to legitimate oppression and perhaps keep us comfortable. And so thank you for calling us to that. Also, a joint invitation both from Armandati Roy and from Isaac Villegas, both calling us to be quiet enough, silent enough to hear the inbreaking new world that God is bringing. And I appreciated a few moments of quiet in an otherwise very intensive schedule. But the sensitivity with which our music was led and the work of our musicians really facilitated some of those moments for us to listen in quiet, so thank you for that. The call to mission in the empire that we received most explicitly from Matthew and David's presentation was something that all of us can begin to embrace, at least for me, growing up as a Baptist kid, I knew missionaries, and I knew that they had this special calling, and it's only been over a long time that I've recognized my role in mission, and so I really appreciated the stories, the voices that they lifted up. One of them was from Jason Evans, and his was particularly moving to me because he described himself, I think, as a Christian immigrant to Anabaptism, and that has caused me to reflect on my own story and how I tell my story, because if I'm talking to people like Matt and Dave, I say, well, I grew up in a Mennonite family or Mennonite church, and I guess I heard a different language and story from Jason Evans, that he describes himself as a Christian immigrant to Anabaptism. I would probably say it a little bit differently. It would have to do with Mennonite people that I met in Canada from that Russian stock that Cal Redikoff represents. I guess the last thing I want to say, so that there's time for Phil here as well, is that at the very beginning, when we heard a little bit from Walter Brueggemann in that video, the question was, how shall we sustain a baptismal identity in our neighborhoods in the shadow of empire, or something sort of like that? And it's with that, that question is really what I'm going to be hearing with me, and I hope all of us will. One of the things that unites Anabaptists and Roman Catholics is that we recognize one another's baptism. And so this baptismal identity that we share equips us for the common mission that has begun with God and is being carried out in Jesus' name. So that's the question I'm hearing.
Yeah. I want to reflect a little bit on that question too, but first let me also just say thank you for this space and time. It's been a real gift to me. In fact, I registered for this conference as soon as I heard about it and saw and looked at the website and explored a bit of what the Anabaptist Missional Project is about. And my first response was, this is my tribe. I want to be here with them when they gather. And then after the fact, I was asked to then listen while I was here. In a way, I'm noticing the irony in the fact that that I'm here as a pastor of Parkview Mennonite Church, reflecting back to this group, because if you are around here and you know much about Parkview, or at least you have some ideas about Parkview, I think we have visibly and invisibly many symbols of empire and Christendom in our building and around us in our structure, and from the stand here on College or Park Road and look down the street and see our steeple towering above the community of Parkview, and we have the pipe organ in the front of the church, and multiple staff, and 15 years ago did a $2.7 million addition to our building, and you know we're a complex institutional church. Not to mention the people that make up our congregation. A lot of EMU types, but the heads of these institutions that are in the shadow of right here, the president of EMU and the provost, and the head of the Mennonite Church USA, and the head of Virginia Mennonite Conference, and Virginia Mennonite Retirement Community. And at the same time, we can be a spiritual home to radicals like Brian Gumm, and two of the seven members of the Concern movement who are part of our congregation as well. And so it just struck me that it embodied in our own faith community, we're living out some of what I was hearing as kind of a theme through this conference, was that we need to hold together these things that are often set apart as opposites, and there is no such thing as a totalizing narrative. It's that this is wrong, and this is good. That we really need to stay in touch and engage with each other. And I think that's what I've heard a number of the speakers saying here, and the questions are coming back to some of the speakers. Just kind of being reminded that the empire is not just out there. It's within us. We're part of it. And if we're not talking to each other and embracing the good and calling each other to account, we're missing out. And I heard that a number of times, expressed in different ways. I just want to express my appreciation for that. This question that that Jennifer ended with, how can we sustain our baptismal identity in our neighborhoods in the shadow of the empire? Is a question. I think it's just core to us moving forward in faithfulness, and it's a question that perhaps I would have liked to have heard more reflection on here in this gathering, in terms of the practices that can sustain that kind of identity. We heard a lot of excellent thought-provoking questions and from theological framework point. Sociological, linguistic, cultural, racial, ethnic, all of these things are important questions. We need to be talking about them and wrestling with them, working with them. But we also, at the same time, need to be deepening and nurturing the practices within our community, local communities of faith that can sustain the kind of identity we're talking about. And we have within this room lots of resources. We could have heard more of your stories about how you've done it. Chris, you live in a community in Camden, and is Janet still here? Janet is an intentional community of South Bend, and you know, all of you have your own experiences that you could have brought to bear to talk about. You know, what are these things that can hold us together as a body of Christ, as a body politic in the midst of this empire that can really sustain us and sustain our identity? Things like how do we mutually discern God's will for the people and ourselves as a community as well as individually? How do we hold each other accountable in life-giving ways? How do we practice kind of hospitality and openness that we talked about? What are the concrete practices that teach and form us in that direction? Being with the poor, engaging evangelical witness to the transforming work of Christ, and how do we do that in a way that has integrity and faithfulness and can shape us for life in the 21st century, which is a challenging life, as we all know. But you know, there's more chances to get together and wrestle with these too, so maybe that's just an idea for a future gathering of this group to reflect on those formational practices that can cement what we know is right, but actually make it doable in the daily challenges of life. Because we can't get away from it. We're immersed in it. Sunday morning church is not going to do it. It's got to be a total lifestyle kind of thing. It's got to be embedded in the community, in a covenant community. So how do we go about doing that? Is my ongoing question that I keep wrestling with. And we, at Parkview, we try and get some things right and get some things wrong, but it's beautiful when it happens, but we're going to keep working at it. But thanks again for all of your thoughts and